The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong.
Welcome back. Hour two of the National Intel Report with Patrick Slattery and Paul Stevenson. We are filling in for John Stadtmiller, who was called away on very important business. And hour two, we said we would take calls. That number is 512-248-8252. That's 512-248-8252. And just momentarily before we go to take the first caller, here we are. We're actually on different sides of the ocean, but we have an awful lot in common. Just, you know, Churchill would say the Americans and the British are like, what did he say? One people divided by a common language, something. We're divided by a common language. With, you know, he did say some witty things from time to time, but we have an awful lot in common. Whether we're, you know, which side of the ocean we're on, we have an awful lot in common, and we're being subsumed. One of the things we have in common is we're being subsumed by hordes of people that we have less in common with. How about that?
Absolutely, and again, we've got very different interests. And it's something I mentioned at the conference. So, but yeah, just to wrap up on that before we take that call that we were going to take, Patrick. There was a sort of an intangible, you know, thing that was important at that event that it was hard to explain, but it was powerful. You know, when I first went into the event, there was a lovely little conference room, and it probably would have held about 100 people, and I didn't know how many people were coming, but I thought 100 people with very similar views to me who can get themselves organized, buy a ticket, come here today, make the effort to come here. I said that'd be brilliant. This is going to be a lovely little conference. And someone then said to me, no, that's not the conference room. The other conference, I think it was Mark, said the conference room just when he arrived is down at the bottom. And I went in there and I was just like, wow, this is intimidating. This place was huge. And that place was, I was a little bit, you know, intimidated because I'm not used to speaking in front of that many people. I'm not used to speaking in public generally, you know, apart from the safety and comfort of my own home and doing shows like this. But the 100, I felt, I can handle this. And I was nervous, you know. And that was before anybody got there. It was just empty seats. And I was like, this place is huge. And there was a very, you know, good mix of people from age-wise. Everybody was well-dressed, well-mannered. You could tell there was people there with money. There was, you know, people who were very articulate. There was no thugs there. People with very similar views, very similar experiences, and a similar disillusionment. And there was this tremendous sense of comfort that you were among your own people, and that, you know, there was safety in numbers, that if anything happened to anybody there, that they wouldn't be left on their own. There was a sense of togetherness, which is probably not natural to the white man, and it's forgivable in a sense, because, you know, I doubt whether black people in Africa go around thinking about themselves as blacks and blacks' interests. But if you suddenly had 2 million white people arrived in a year, then they'd probably start thinking about it a lot more. Mm-hmm. And I'm not being apologetic for it, by the way. I'm just saying there was that sense of community. And that community is the solution, I believe. And it, you know, provides strength for people. And, you know, there's this, I know it's a cliche, but there's inherent truth and there's safety in numbers. And, you know, if you're outspoken about it, particularly in this country, if you're talking about Jewish power, you're probably more at risk, but you're also, you know, the more public, more of a public figure you are, the more at risk you are. But there's also more support there, and there's more people that would rally around you, I believe, because they were all just good, decent people there, Patrick, you know?
Well, it's good to hear that does give cause for optimism. All right, let's go to our callers. The first caller, we have Andy from Texas. Andy, welcome to the show.
Hey, Pat, and I think it's Paul, right?
That's correct.
Okay, yeah. Hey, thanks, gentlemen, for taking my phone call. We're all aware of the guy called Schaefer Cox, right?
I don't think I am. Who's Schaefer Cox?
Okay, so Schaefer Cox was an activist in Alaska, and he was a brilliant person. I mean, he got tired of the tyranny. He saw what's going on in America, and this was like 13, 14 years ago. And he set up an app on a cell phone so that, if you were ever in trouble and you're having tyranny coming against you, whatever it might be, as long as your location button was turned on, you hit the app, and anybody in the neighborhood, any patriot in the neighborhood would show up where you were to make sure that it was a justified stop or whatever. And you know, it was kind of a way to rescue one another up in Alaska. For that, he sat in solitary confinement much longer than those people on January 6th, not to take nothing away from that. But he's been in prison ever since, just because he did some patriotic act. Okay, so looking at that and seeing that, and we know that at some point we're going to be dropped down to nothing. There'll be no internet and whatnot. So that's funny too, because when they put the internet up, they allowed us to have these smartphones, get all this information, set up our own apps, do our own thing. But someday they're going to turn it off, and when they turn it off, we're all going to go, "Holy cow! How do we contact anybody? How do we get in touch with anybody?" Well, we have to go back to the old days. People have to drive their cars to go meet people. And that's going to be a very slow process. So that's probably one of the reasons why they think they can get away with this, because they got us so used to having instant communication to no communication. This is a brilliant idea. These globalists they're stupid, brilliant, and arrogant. And the arrogance is that they don't think that there's any way that we're going to come together and figure out how to combat this thing. We've got some interesting times ahead of us, but I want to ask you, how do we communicate when the internet goes down? How do we organize when the internet goes down? How do we do anything when the internet goes down, because we're so reliant on the internet?
Well, it's a good question, and 100 years ago, we had something very similar happen, because 100 years ago, that was when radio communication started. And during the 1920s, radio was unregulated, and people aren't really aware of this, but like mom and pop shops, they might get themselves a little radio transmitter, and they might transmit a few hours a week, advertisements or whatever. And so... you had that in the 20s. It was kind of like the Wild West for a while. And then in the very early 30s, there was a Communications Act, and the bandwidth was regulated. And the bandwidth, like the AM bandwidth, it was you needed a license for it. And so, but even the culture of the Wild Wild West continued during the 30s. And so you had people like Father Coughlin, who had his radio show, and they were talking about things that they eventually did all get shut down. The technology of radio broadcasting isn't that advanced. And some people kept their, ham radios, and you had ham radio operators and later CB, citizen band operators. But most people don't have the receivers for them. So you had that wild, wild west followed by a complete shutdown 100 years ago. And now, we've had a couple decades of a wild, wild west internet where people can, make their own websites and everything. And it's more entrenched now than radio broadcasting was in the 20s. Can they shut it down? Well, I mean, we look at Australia, what they've been doing in Australia, which is kind of like the canary in the coal mine right now. And how difficult is it to get news out of Australia? I guess if you're really good at and very accustomed to some of the nether reaches of the internet, like 4chan and whatnot, you can probably still get the information. But they have been very successful in stifling the voices of the Australian people. And it's hard to know what's going on there with their demonstrations. So how do we organize? Well, I don't know. I don't know. Paul, I'll kick that over to you.
Yeah, you know, it's something I have thought about without coming up with any great answers. I think, I mean, one of the things I thought, this was one of the solutions I come up with. Let's just take a community of white people. Let's just say, you know, like what we did at the conference or something like that. I mean, there are pros and cons to something like this, but I've often thought that it would be good to have, you know, in a sort of complete collapse situation, it would be good to have a couple of places that, you know, a little bit of, if you had the resources, where you could purchase a little bit of land and open up, you know, a little sort of community type place, have one in every region or something. You know, I know this sounds far out and you'd have to get very organized, but I've often thought maybe something like that would be good. Obviously, you'd have to keep those venues, you know, protected from Antifa and all the other hatred groups out there from turning up and the police or whatever. But in theory, if you had a few little, even if it was just like one up north, one in the Midlands, one down here somewhere, you know, somewhere where there was some food there, there was some water there, there was some blankets, there was some beds there, you know, a couple of pool tables, you know, some a TV where you could watch some DVDs. You don't need to be online for that, but just some bases where people could go to then just figure out a strategy, you know, so that there was a plan in place where people could meet up, and it would be prearranged that if the internet goes down and communications stop for 48 hours or something, that you start making your way to that place so that you could start then sort of planning things. The other thing I think I think there are some fantastic genius type guys out there where, you know, you have to remember that these guys who control the internet and all these deep state intelligence organizations and everything else, if they switched it off, they're still human beings. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the time they recruit people, you know, hackers and stuff like that. And they give them jobs, you know, because they're beating them. And they use them. So there's guys out there, I think, you know, they could be Chinese, they could be white guys. Any of the more highly intelligent, you know, races would probably figure out a way to start switching that thing back on somehow, you know?
Yeah. And before kicking it back to Andy, the means that we use for communications, which is the internet, it's and cell phone technology and whatnot, we use it for communication, but also they use these very same networks and resources for control, right? And so, you know, like you think of what they're trying to do with the vaccine passports. Well, those are dependent on internet-connected cell phones in everyone's pocket, right? And so, my question, because I don't have the answer for it, but I wonder how easy will it be for them to turn off the internet without also at the same time shooting themselves in the foot in terms of their population control desires. What do you think, Andy? Do you have ideas?
Well, no, you're right. I think turning the internet off, but I wonder if they have their own, let's call it the internet. They have their own internet that's secured that we can't reach. Perhaps they get to keep their communications and we don't get to. But, I mean, I think we might end up back in Morse code or listening to shortwave radio. And I mean, I just don't see, if we can't communicate as a human population, be it in the United States or in country or whatnot, not as open and free as we have been. And they gave us so much time to do all of that, got us so used to it. So we forgot to think about how we communicated before. Letters, landline telephone calls and stuff like that. We're all on the internet and we've all forgotten. You can't remember your mom's phone number if she changed it, right? Because it's in your cell phone. You don't need to remember. Right. It's still there. You see, so they've done so much. This is a serious psychological situation we're into.
Well, those are interesting points, and I can remember my mom's or my aunt's or my best friend's phone numbers from 50 years ago, but I don't know anybody's phone number today. And you know, 50 years ago or 30 years ago, we had means. And you mentioned I remember listening to the BBC in 1970 to get news about the Vietnam War or whatever. And in the Soviet era, they had mimeograph machines where they'd run off flyers and hand them out. And, you know, we had ways of communicating. And I think of the role that demonstrations had. And maybe this is why they want to shut down demonstrations. But demonstrations, you'd go to demonstrations and people would hand out flyers and you would get a lot of networking and communication in the demonstrations. So it wasn't just walking around on the street and getting seen and heard by the media and by bystanders, but there was an awful lot of networking that went on in demonstrations in decades past. So, there are means of communicating and organizing, and how well we can adapt to the changing situation, I don't know. But here's one last thing I have to say about it is I've been very impressed by these young Groypers, who, you know, the most well known of them is Nick Fuentes, but there's a bunch of them, and they got kicked off of YouTube and everything else, and they're young and they're technologically savvy, and they have created their own platform, and they're just going right back at it, and they've been very successful, and you know, they've put on conferences, real life conferences, they get Paul Gosar, a sitting member of Congress, to show up. And so maybe we can't figure it out because we're boomers or we're Gen Xers or whatever, but I have a bit of faith in what and a lot of encouragement in what I'm seeing in this younger generation.
Well, I certainly see in the near future. I mean, if communications is cut off, the internet's down, let's say the power's off, I see bands of people coming together, and it might take some time, and let's see if the government destroys that too. But we come together, and we're going to be running across the country meeting other groups that are doing the same thing. We're going to be in a guerrilla warfare type thing. I don't see, with communication being cut off, we've got to do the natural thing, drive your car to go tell somebody what's going on and organize stuff, ride your horse, motorcycle, whatever it is. We're going to have to go and talk to people and coordinate and stuff. And that's going to be so slow compared to what if the government still has some sort of internet that we don't have. And I guess we call it the black net or whatever. They kind of got that thing where people can't get on it. If that should happen, we're in a world of hurt.
Well, I think it'll happen, but thank you very much for your call, Andy.
You bet. Thank you.
Okay, and let's go to Stoney.
Thanks, Andy.
Stoney from Virginia. The break will probably get you, but what's on your mind, Stoney?
Yes, sir. This is he. Am I coming through?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I know there's a little bit of delay with all me. I can't tell you how exciting this is for me. It's really a pleasure to speak to you, Dr. Slattery. I'm familiar with your work, on radio and everything like that. And I've become more familiar with you during the time of the Charlottesville. I'm close to that area. I'm in Virginia, and I was going to go to that. And quite frankly, I just couldn't afford it. I couldn't take time off work to do it. I needed the money, and it was very disturbing to me. Everything that went down there and what happened to James Fields is just a tragedy. It's an injustice. He's a political prisoner. I don't know who this guy is, and maybe he's an a-hole. Who knows? But that's irrelevant, what his personality or whatever, or even if he was all this hateful racial shit that they, pardon my language.
Okay, well, hold on. We're going to the break, but you'll join us when we come back.
Well, you will learn that packaging is all that ever is.
Got the little black car, the little black dress. We got the guru and the trainer and the full course dress. We got the software, hard drive, CD-ROM. We got the exploitation.com. We got the pages.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Show the National Intel Report with Patrick Slattery and Paul Stevenson filling in, and Mini-Me here. Mini-Me is complaining she wants to go out for her walk. And we have Stoney from Virginia. Stoney, you were talking about the events in Charlottesville.
Yeah, correct. And that's when I'd become really familiar with your work. I'd become familiar with the work of Dr. Duke as well. Previous to that, I might preface that a little bit if you'll allow me. And which is an interesting something in and of itself, because all my life I had been taught that this was this evil man who hated and wanted to lynch blacks and, you know, just hated Jews for no reason. And I pretty much believed that, was taught that through the mainstream media And then you find the man and you listen to him for yourself and you're like, wow, this is just totally wrong. They made his name synonymous with Satan like they did another World War II figure, as we know. And it's difficult out here because there's so many things that you have to people, they're in a matrix, right? But the bottom line, I guess, because my mind can go in a million directions with this, I can't tell you what a pleasure it is to speak to you, sir, is that we're fighting for our survival here, and people need to realize that. We're being ethnically cleansed, literally, across the, and like I believe the co-host there had mentioned, I'm sorry, forgive me for not remembering your name, that, you know, these people, when it's all said and done, it's like chess. If you look at the end game, there's always going to be a place in earth for Asians or for blacks or something. And a lot of that due to the white man's medicine. All the stuff that people are enjoying, the cars, the planes, the trains, the computers, it's all, yes, the Asians have tweaked it, but it's all products of white Western minds. And again, I digress, but, and the only reason, you end up having to go here, there, or whatever, like this, you know, hit the mole type of thing, because we're attacked on so many levels by, as you mentioned before, it's Jewish interest. And it is. And I don't know exactly what that is. I mean, one thought I would have is that, you know, they're because people want, okay, I'm so glad we're actually openly talking about this, but is it a race or is it a religion? Well, it's both, because their race is their religion. You see, it's a private party and you're not invited. I mean, and that's it. And it's interesting that they go around calling everyone else pushing this white supremacy thing when they're the biggest supremacists on the earth and their own scriptures testify to it. It's their belief system that, you know, at least with, you know, and I'm not promoting any of these religions necessarily, with Islam, it's, you know, it's not, Islam is not synonymous with Arab supremacy. Christianity is not synonymous with European supremacy. Okay? And it's like, the word is called chutzpah, which they have, and the way that they operate, and I'm sorry, but, it's just such a pleasure, and there's so many areas I could go, and as far as, but the previous caller had the most important subject, and that's how we're going to communicate. And but on the same token, I think that it's going to be on the grassroots level. I'm seeing a lot of that in Virginia. People have woken up. I mean, I'm so glad. And it's just, Terry McAuliffe just said what they meant. You know, parents shouldn't be telling teachers what to teach. You know, and I'm kind of, it's like, in a weird way, it's like the slow boiling of the frog in the pot, as they say. And it's almost like, look, they don't know when to stop, and it's almost like, I'm glad. Like, this is a terrible situation we're in. I mean, they're with the vaccines, they're already pushing boosters before they could even forcefully mandate the doggone the thing in the first place, right? And you're out of your mind, and I'm speaking to the audience in general, if you think that mandating injections, that you're like, they're not going to chip you eventually, and that's not where this is all going. And it's just like when they pass laws, you lose this thing with the mask, for example, okay? All you're doing is losing freedom, right? It's not protecting you from COVID, and it benefits the criminal, just like all the gun laws, right? Mm-hmm. Pass a law, it makes me feel good, okay? I'm wearing a mask, it makes you feel good, but people are getting away with robbery, rape, and murder. Literally getting away with robbery, and I can prove that. You know, I'm no doctor, and I'm no scientist, but I can show you evidence of people getting away with rape, robbery, and murder because you've made it. It used to be you had to cover your face, commit the crime, then you had to get away, then you had to uncover yourself because you can't run around covered all the time, right? And transition that in such a way to not get caught. And now we've made it where they don't have to do the transition. I'm sorry, right. You want to speak, sir.
That's right. Okay. No, that's all important stuff. We're coming up on the next break in just a second, but I want to thank you for your call, Stoney. It was a pleasure talking to you, and I hope you'll. I don't do too much live radio, but I do it with Jeremy on his show, and I hope to be able to talk to you again in the future.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Standing 6'4", weighing in 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science-analyzing brawn, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian, and my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the Republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the Republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. Fuck you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be the bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central, and Wednesday at 1 Central.
Extendivite has proven time and again it really works. Here's a testimonial from Amazon.com. I am only 40, but I have put my body through hell working in manufacturing for 20 years. I recently started to notice a buzzing feeling along with a stuttering sensation with my heart. I had a full cardio stress done, which I passed. I decided to try Extendivite after getting the jingle stuck in my head. Halfway through the bottle, I really did notice a difference. After getting home from work, I would just sit in a chair for a few hours feeling like crap, and this stuff reduced that feeling along with heart discomfort to almost nothing. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Now God's finest little creatures, looking brave and strong, whistling past the graveyard, nothing can go wrong. Quoting from the scriptures, patriotic tears.
We are back. We are back, and this is the National Intel Report with Patrick Slattery and Paul Stevenson filling in for John Stattmiller. And we have Laura from Michigan. Laura, how the heck are you?
I'm great. Hi, Patrick and John. I wanted to tell you how much I like your commercial you and Jeremy do. I especially like your line that says, you know, the Republic was overthrown, but the people of the Republic are still here. I think we need to emphasize that. And that's something
we are still here.
We have discussions on.
We are still here.
We have to realize we're still here. We haven't lost anything. Also, what I wanted to talk about was that new governor. He said one of the first things he wants to do is start a commission on anti-Semitism.
Which governor are you talking about? Who are you talking about? Are you talking about in Virginia?
The new governor of Virginia.
And he wants a commission on anti-Semitism?
Yes. And also, if people want to research him, he was head of the Carlyle Group.
Exactly.
He was involved with the Bushes and the Rumsfelds and everybody.
Right.
Investment group.
That's not good, is it?
Yeah, it's not good. And this is exactly what I was saying. So I was saying that it was a great victory to have humiliated what's the guy's name? Terry McAuliffe. But we don't get leadership in exchange for it. We get this Youngkin guy, and he is, I mean, he being the ex-CEO of the Carlyle Group, that says it all. I mean, this is the financial group that George H.W. Bush parachuted into in his ex-presidency, and they're involved in, like, all the worst stuff. And so we don't expect anything positive from Youngkin. And, you know, and he didn't get himself elected. It was the people who were going to the school boards that made it happen.
You're right.
Those people, these people have been going to school board meetings. Jeremy from Kentucky, he was a big voice at his school board meeting. These people defeated Terry McAuliffe. Youngkin didn't.
Jeremy's from Kentucky. Isn't that where they took the kids to a gay bar or something?
That was in eastern Kentucky. You wouldn't expect that thing in western Kentucky. No, that did happen. It happened in eastern Kentucky. Why should it happen in eastern Kentucky? Why would that even happen? But exactly. it shows how well, because the perverts are emboldened, right? They're empowered, and so all this stuff has been empowered. So the young kids who are, you know, can be confused, have been incentivized to be tranny or to be gay and to come out and to celebrate. And so what they did, basically, my understanding is they hijacked a, you know, like, I what do they call it, like a man pageant or something. They hijacked something that probably was just more or less innocuous in the past and turned it into some sort of, like, gay bar lap dance type of thing. And that is a reflection on our times. True. It's really bad.
Also, the other thing is that rape in Loudoun County, that poor little 15-year-old girl,
mm-hmm.
The way they hit it that he was black. I mean, boy, I had a hard time finding that out.
Where did you find out that the perpetrator was black?
Glenn Beck show.
Okay.
I had to go with, yeah. Anyway, his mother recently did an interview and said, yeah, I knew my son. He told me he was wearing a skirt so he could have sex with girls. But the mother knew this. Why didn't she stop him? And I think she's an accessory to this, not doing anything about it. Because, yeah, I knew about that. It's like, nonchalantly, you know.
Well, I mean, this is also entirely predictable, right? That,
yeah.
Because I know, I don't know anybody who would have gone in and raped girls, but if this stuff had been happening 40 or 50 years ago, I know my friend Bob, he said, okay, I'm gonna say I'm a girl and go into the girls' locker room, but he wouldn't have raped anybody. But, you know, it's entirely predictable. Of course, if you can just say, oh, I'm a girl, and then you get access to naked girls and or girls in vulnerable positions, it's so predictable. I mean, it's somebody coming from even a decade ago, let alone five decades ago, would just there'd be an utter disbelief at how divorced from reality people are now. It really is clown world.
I feel especially emotional. I have two granddaughters that age. I just can't imagine this happening to them. And plus, the guy sodomized the girl, which means that's a hate, you know, hate thing to sodomize them. Yeah, I'm going to show you, you know, that kind of thing. It just doesn't come out. I think when the mother said that she knew about it, I couldn't believe it. The tranny thing, I told on Mike Rivero's show, we got to stop pretending with these people. Most of them are just transvestite. They put on these women's clothes so they can get into locker rooms, bathrooms, or what have you. They're just doing it for that. And stop pretending that they can change their X or Y chromosomes. You can't change chromosomes, no matter what you do to your body. You're a man or you're a woman, that's it. We can stop pretending with them.
Male and female, he created them.
We're going against just our entire history as a species. Not even that. I mean, we're just going against biology in general. You wonder, because like I mentioned in the last hour, walking through a box store and just seeing how far our human capital has been degraded. And I didn't even mention, you don't see that many trannies, honestly. You don't see that many, but you know, you do see lesbian couples walking around or gay couples walking around. You see this stuff. And
more of them than you would like to.
Yeah. And you get to the point where, Can our society, the way our society is now, isn't it better for humanity that we lose, like America, as far as it's fallen, given the state of America right now, do we really want to have credibility around the world? Do we really want to have the world leadership the way we are now? Or is it irresponsible? No. I mean, at some point, if you know you're drunk, if you know you're impaired, do you really want to get behind the wheel? Why should we be the ones behind the wheel? Why should we be? We know how far we fall, and we know our situation. We should not want the United States at this point in time to be the leader of the world.
Right.
Well, the rest of the world pocket looks on and just laughs at the West now anyway. They realize that, you know, Putin made a speech recently talking about wokeism. And I actually don't like the word wokeism. It's just basically an amplification of, you know, sort of cultural Bolshevism. And I think the word woke sort of, you know, hides what it really is and where it's coming from. But Putin did a speech recently where he addressed that, you know, what we're doing in the West is crazy, and it's we're destroying ourselves. And he said, and by the way, it's nothing new anymore. And he said that we've experienced this here. You know, they experienced the Bolsheviks in Russia, and he was open about that. Okay, it's a slightly different thing, but it's, you know, it's fundamentally a similar thing. So, you know, they look on at us and they sort of they're shaking their heads thinking, well, you know, the West is just destroying itself, you know. But then again, you know, we're not destroying ourselves. We're being, you know, it's being destroyed from a fifth column within, you know.
Okay. All right.
Sexualizing kids from the age kindergarten on up. You mark my words.
You see it all over the place.
Are going to make pedophilia legal. That's the plan. You watch, that's going to happen.
You see it all over the place.
Pedophilia will be made legal.
Yeah, you see it all over the place. On Nickelodeon or, you know, the Kids' Choice Awards or whatever, the TV that's made for prepubescent kids is entirely sexualized at this point. It's often things that are more maybe a little bit subtle and a little bit subliminal, but they are doing their best to lay the groundwork to have to raise a generation of sluts and perverts. But thank you very much for your call, Laura. It's always great hearing from you.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, and next we go to James from Vancouver. James, welcome to the show. Oh, we lost James. Okay, next we go to Pat from Fort Worth. Pat, welcome to the show. It's Pat.
Hi. Hi. I just want to ask y'all a question. You know, we have all kind of specialties here in Fort Worth. Food stores, they sell only Cambodian food. They sell only this or that or the other. Is there anything wrong with establishing your own town? Have you ever heard of Lakewood, New Jersey?
I've heard of Lakewood, New Jersey. Isn't that where the Hindenburg crashed?
I don't know that.
Lakehurst. It was somewhere in New Jersey. Yeah.
But what I wanted to say about it is it's Jewish. There's a town over here near Fort Worth. It's called Keene, and it's Seventh-day Adventist. And they run the town. I don't see there's anything wrong with that. And and their study of the Bible, and they're growing like mad. It's about a third Hispanic, third Black, third whatever, Jewish, and they're studying things like, since we don't have an ox anymore, what does it mean about gored, your ox getting gored? So I think that's really good that somebody who knows the language is keeping up with what it means for us, the Christians. But I'm afraid there's a lot of prejudice going on now over kosher products in stores. They burn them out. Is that fair?
Well, as a national spokesman for the Koshertified app, the Koshertified app is all about freedom of choice and education, because an educated consumer is a consumer that is that has self-autonomy. And if you want to keep kosher, you can download the Koshertified app and see lists of non-kosher certified food, which you would want to avoid. If you want to avoid kosher certified foods, well, then that very same list will help you avoid kosher certified foods. And no, it will help you gravitate towards non-kosher certified food. That's what it'll do. That's the Koshertified app. Regarding, people forming their own towns, and, you know, maybe Paul can probably speak to this a great deal in London, where you've got entire sections of London that are now basically caliphates. But people do have there is a tendency to gravitate towards people who are similar because, geographically it's very convenient and you can get your food and you can speak to people in your language and you can walk to your place of worship. You can get that. But, you know, what we have in the United States is where we 50 years ago didn't have Cambodians here. Now you've got a Cambodian town. Palacios, if you know where Palacios is on the Gulf Coast there in Texas, I believe that's become very Vietnamese. And regarding Jews, for instance, Jews have been here for longer than Cambodians or Vietnamese, but what you have in the New York area and some other places is regular towns where Hasidic Jewish community targets them. They move in and acquire property, and often acquire property using rather coercive or underhanded means, take over school boards, take over town governments.
Churches.
And, yeah.
Take over churches.
Take over churches. And the thing is, they are very, very, they have very high reproductive rates. They have huge families, and the families are completely subsidized by, non-Jewish taxpayers. And so long-term, this is a problem. This is the type of problem where you see different groups.
Well, this one has tuition like $20,000 a year. Mm-hmm. So people have to pay to go to that, all that. There, but my problem is, how can we pick out one particular race? I mean, nothing wrong with going in there yourself and conververting them to Christianity, you know, and then they know more about the Bible.
No, they don't know more about the Bible, and the problem is Christians don't know anything about their Bible, and the Jews go in there and they Judaize the Bibles, and they did this down through history as well with the Catholic Church. They went in there pretending they were Christians, and they sprinkled a little holy water on them, and then before you know it, they completely destroyed it. They created all this dispensational nonsense. So, no, they Judaize it. They Judaize the churches, and they make it pro-Jew, and they take credit for it because most Christians don't actually read their Bibles. They get some pastor with a little bit of charisma, and they think and they believe everything he says, because I've been to some of these churches, and it's complete lies that they're teaching.
Yeah, and particularly in the United States. I don't know about where you are, Paul, but in the United States, you've had this history over the past half century or so of mega churches, and you have these basically kosher-sponsored... You got John Hagee, you got Pat Robertson, you had Jerry Falwell, you've got... a whole bunch of others whose names slip my mind, but you got that whole phenomenon, and they push a very different form of Christianity, very pro-Israel form.
How are they supported by the taxpayers?
Well, for one thing, they have tax-exempt status, and you know, you look at many of them, like Jim Baker, if you remember Jim Baker from the 1980s, who was able to greatly enrich himself. And that, you know, it's all tax free.
No, I don't look at it that way. You were listening to the fake media.
I was talking about the being supported by taxpayers, what I was talking about was the Hasidic Jews with their very high birth rates. And the point I was going to make is, if you look around the world, you see, if you have a geographic entity where you've got two separate populations, one with a high birth rate and one with a low birth rate, that is a recipe for disaster. That's what happened in Kosovo, which at the beginning of the 20th century was 90% Serbian. At the end, it was 90% Albanian, and with a civil war going on.
That tells me one thing. They're not homosexual. They're having babies.
All right. Well, thank you very much for your call, Pat.
That really boils it down to the lowest common denominator of goodness, doesn't it?
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because big tech, big pharma, and big brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
And we are back. This is the National Intel Report, but John Statmiller's out, and Patrick Slattery of National Bugle Radio, weekdays 1 p.m. Central, is filling in, along with Paul Stevenson of Last Man Standing, Sunday evening at 9 p.m. Central. We are filling in, and there was a little anecdote you were going to tell me, Paul.
Yeah, so we'll just to change the subject a little bit from the Judaization of the churches, we'll come full circle, because we were talking about demographics. We're talking about, you know, people coming across here in boats, and that the actual illegal immigration is actually, you know, getting up to the levels of legal immigration when it first started. But of course, our Home Secretary is a lady called Priti Patel, and Priti Patel talks very, you know, hard talk on immigration.
Priti Patel, is that what, a Scottish name or a Welsh name? What's that?
So she is the daughter of immigrants who decided to leave their hometown in India to go to Uganda. And
Uganda wasn't black enough for them, so they came to London. Was that it?
Well, here's the thing. Here's the irony. You can tell me if this might sort of influence her thinking, and we could be into conflict of interest territory here, but I just read a little bit about Indians in Uganda. Now, bear in mind, she came over here, I think, in the late 60s. It says, there's a sizable community of people of Indian origin living in Uganda. In 2003, there were an estimated 15,000 people of Asian descent there, majority of Indians and Pakistans living in Uganda, compared to approximately 80,000 before they were expelled there by the dictator Idi Amin in 1972. So she
that was a big deal when it happened, I remember.
Yeah, so she was probably part of that group that were expelled out of there. Our tensions were pretty bad because this guy decided, that's enough. We're getting up towards 100,000 Indians in Pakistan. You got to go. And so this woman is now the Home Secretary controlling the borders of the UK now, you know. So I just thought that would be an interesting little story there. I like to do a little bit of research on these people, you know.
Indeed. Okay. So last thing. You had a conference, and you had a speech at the conference, and how would people find your speech?
Okay. Well, the audio of the speeches is available on Radio Albion. That's spelled A-L-B-I-O-N. There were six speakers there. It will also be available on, if you go to the Patriotic Alternative website, you can find them there as well. That's Patriotic Alternative, Mark Collett's organization who put on the event. And also it'll be available on Mark Collett's Odyssey channel, I think by tomorrow, if not by tomorrow, certainly by the weekend. And that will be the video and the audio of those speeches on there, including my own.
Okay, and I hope to be highlighting parts of your speech on my show tomorrow at 1 p.m. Central Time. Okay, well, we are in the last minute or so of the show. Oh, no, we aren't. We are. Well, yes, we are. Okay, well, I don't know how John signs off. What should I say? What do I say to sign off? I say, I know. Shalom, y'all. That's what I'll say.
Take America back. We must take America back.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from simplycleanfoods.net, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters. Right now, Amazon Prime members will receive fast two-day shipping. Go to simplycleanfoods.net. That's simplycleanfoods.net. But do it today.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.